morning, zeggen ze altijd zo vrolijk in de Christelijke Kathedraal vanaf de kansel en als de mensen elkaar een hand geven. Nou, ik zeg gewoon goedemorgen en even hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. En dat aan alle jongere en oudere kijkers. We vinden het heel bijzonder dat u op deze tweede zondag in januari weer met ons verbonden bent via de televisie. Zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral het prachtige zongen Bless This House door Don Nguyen. Hij heeft het beloofd in een telefoongesprek dat hij dit aan Nederland opdraagt. En we hebben Frank van der Velde. Hij is presentator van de Jongerendag, maar de motor achter de Jongeren Bijbel. Een hele succesvolle Bijbel en hij vertelt er graag meer over. En het thema is liefde. Nou, als je op zoek bent en je afvraagt wat is nou echte liefde, liefde met hoofdletters, eeuwige liefde, blijf dan kijken naar deze aflevering van Hour of Power.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. It is a wonderful, beautiful day to be here and to feel the presence of God surrounding you as you truly are surrounded by what the Bible will call a cloud of witnesses, saints. The person to your right, behind you, and around you is a saint, a child of God. So reach out and say, God loves you, and so do I. We have Michael Scott Kerr, who is founder of Snowball Express, and he's going to be sharing with us how he left his job to dedicate his life to bless the children of fallen U.S. soldiers. Isn't that tremendous? The dedication of one man and what can happen. We also have the Crystal Cathedral Choir with us, with Sean Groombridge at the magnificent Hazel Wright organ and Mark Riley with the Hour of Power Orchestra. And so we know that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And so we pray, O Lord, that on this day you will touch our hearts and our minds with the reality of your presence. That as you touch our hearts and our minds, that you will bring us your peace. So we thank you for the privilege of being used by you to touch others and to make a difference. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
Oh, may be seated. In preparation for the morning message, hear these words from the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who love him. As far as the east is from the west, so far is his love for us. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting on those who trust him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who remember his commandments and do them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God honor these words, touch you through them. Amen.
Bless this house, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless these walls of firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out.
Bless the roof and chimney tall, let thy peace lie over all. Bless this soil.
Thank you.
Well, at this time, I want to introduce you to a wonderful, beautiful, talented woman who's been a part of our music ministry here at the Crystal Cathedral for many years. In fact, Maria is married to one of the fantastic percussionists in our orchestra. His name is Jason Goodman. Jason is here. Would you please stand up? Jason, we're glad you're here this morning. He's not participating in our orchestra this morning because he wants to support his wife and watch her play. And so he's taking the morning off as his wife comes to share with us. Please welcome Maria Perez Goodman. Maria, God loves you, and so do we. You are playing an interesting piece, aren't you?
Yes, I'm playing Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin.
Now, how long is that piece normally?
It's about 17 minutes.
And we don't have time for you to do a 17-minute piece here on church on Sunday mornings.
So we have a very short excerpt, 4 minutes or 5 minutes worth, yeah.
And you do a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you.
But at the same time, I know you have a very fascinating story about how you started playing.
When I was very young, my brother and sister were studying music, but they never dedicated themselves to their studies. So my mother was, you know, upset about it. So she said for the young child, which was me, no piano lessons for her. She wasn't going to waste her money with me. So I begged for piano lessons, and finally, when I was 11 years old, she allowed me to have 6 months of piano lessons, and I had to prove myself if I wanted to continue. So I've been practicing ever since. Just about the same time, I also watched on TV a concert pianist playing Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. And that just touched me, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to be a concert pianist, and one day I want to play that piece. And so the most wonderful thing happened here at the Crystal Cathedral in 2001. Johnny Carl, out of the blue, asked me, could you play for us the concerto number 2 by Rachmaninoff? And I just cried because I was so excited. That was, you know, I knew God was guiding me and had made that opportunity for me.
So it was an answer to a prayer that you had held for years.
Yes, it was.
God answers prayer. And so now we have the privilege of hearing you play this wonderful piece, and we thank you for all that God does for you. Well, our guest today is Michael Scott Kerr. Michael's making a significant difference in the lives of military families. He saw the tremendous needs of the families and widows who have been left with the remnants of war, and he made the decision to do something positive about it. He took a big step of faith, a huge leap of faith, actually, and he quit his job and he launched the Snowball Express. It's a program that provides a joyful holiday experience for every child who has lost a parent in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Would you please welcome with me Michael Scott Kerr? Michael,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you today.
Well, I know that was a huge step of faith for you to go and do this for these widows and for these families who have lost someone who's so dear. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, you know, it's really an interesting story. My wife and I were driving by Camp Pendleton, and I wanted to do something. And I said to her, you know, where can I find some kids to help? I just feel that calling. And she pointed to Camp Pendleton and said, you might find a couple there. And like the name, it snowballed from there.
Wow.
We took a huge leap of faith with this, and I'm so grateful. My wife, my wife's my biggest supporter, and she stood by my side. And it hasn't been easy, but we know we're doing the right work.
How many people are we talking about?
We're hoping to get 500 widows and 1,000 kids. Right now, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 widows and I think about 600 or 700 children.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
So what impact does this have on these families?
Oh, these families, you know, they are so touched by the outreach of the country as a whole that's joined on to the Snowball Express. You know, many of these families, they email me on a constant basis, and the common thread that I hear from them is, thank you so much for your support, and thank you for providing an opportunity for all of us to come together at one time so we can share what we're going through. You know, I received a letter this morning, and I hope you'll all take this woman with you today. She's coming to the Snowball Express, and she's having some severe difficulties. She's through pain, and she's having some financial troubles. And she said to me, please keep me in your prayers. And I emailed her back, and I said, you know, you're in my prayers every day, and I'll be with Robert Schuller today, and I'm sure he'll keep you in your prayers as well.
Yeah, we'll keep all of the families in our prayers.
Please
because
do.
We know how difficult it is. Yeah, it must be horrific and extremely difficult. And you've had firsthand experience seeing how this actually does have an impact on their lives, what Snowball Express does for them.
Mm-hmm.
And has witnessing this had any impact on your faith?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think so often what we do is we fail to listen. We pray, which in my humble opinion is talking, but we fail to listen when God speaks to us. And in this particular case, for me, it's been a wonderful opportunity to listen and be able to hear what God wants us to do and what these families need from us. And it's so touching. There was one particular little child, Bailey, from Chicago, and Bailey sits up every night worrying about whether the bad men that hurt her father will come for her. And I was able to email that little girl and talk to that mother and explain to her that you're in God's hands and no bad will come to you.
You know, I'm sure that could be repeated 100 times, if not 200-300 times. And we want to pray for you. We want to pray for Snowball Express. We want to pray for the widows. And we want to pray for the children and for the families that have been left behind. And so we want to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the men and the women who've lost a loved one today because of the fighting that goes on around the world. And we thank you that this man, Michael Scott Kerr, heard the voice of the widows and the young children who lost a mother or a father and have responded today and are receiving the help and the touch and are able to get together and are able to feel supported and loved because one man had a vision and responded. Amen.
Thank you.
And so we thank you, Michael, for all you've done and will continue to do.
God bless you.
God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you.
Michael Scott Kerr, die zich inzet hoe je ook over de Irakoorlog denkt voor de slachtoffers, want dat zijn de kinderen ook van de gevallen militairen. De Bijbel is het meest gelezen, meest verkochte boek ter wereld. En daar hoef je niet triomfantelijk over te doen, maar het laat wel iets zien wat de impact van de Bijbel is. En tegenover me zit Frank van der Velde. Frank, jij bent... Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Fijn dat je er bent. Ik ga straks nog over andere dingen hebben, maar jij bent één van de motoren, zo niet de motor achter de nieuwe jongerenbijbel die is uitgekomen.
Klopt.
Waarom is dat gebeurd?
Nou, we merkten de afgelopen jaren dat steeds minder jongeren de Bijbel lazen. En als ze hem lazen, dat ze hem vaak niet begrepen. En dat was voor ons genoeg aanleiding, mede door het verschijnen van de nieuwe Bijbelvertaling, om een jongerenbijbel te gaan maken. Om jongeren te helpen de Bijbel beter te begrijpen en ook toe te passen in hun dagelijks leven.
Ja. Nou was de nieuwe Bijbelvertaling een enorm succes. Binnen de kortste keer 500.000 exemplaren verkocht. Hoe is dat met de jongerenbijbel?
Ja, dat is eigenlijk met de jongerenbijbel precies hetzelfde. Niet zoveel als de nieuwe Bijbelvertaling zelf. Maar binnen 3 dagen waren we eigenlijk al door de eerste oplage van 27.500 heen. Inmiddels zijn er denk ik ongeveer 40.000 verkocht al. Dus dat gaat heel hard.
Ik vind dat opvallend, want jongeren hebben natuurlijk veel meer een kijk- en luistercultuur dan een leescultuur.
Dat klopt. Dat is ook de reden waarom we in de jongerenbijbel veel met illustraties en foto's werken. En aan de jongerenbijbel vast hebben we ook een website gekoppeld. Dat is natuurlijk een nieuw medium waar jongeren veel te vinden zijn.
Doen ze het ook?
Ze doen het ook. En het is onder andere een plek ook waar ze meer informatie kunnen vinden, maar ook meer illustraties waar ze hun eigen cover bijvoorbeeld kunnen maken. Het is wel leuk om te laten zien. Ik heb een cadeautje voor je meegenomen.
Ja.
Ja, dat is iets wat, waarvan ik weet dat jij dat heel erg mooi vindt.
Ik laat even zien aan de camera. Dit is het schilderij van de verloren zoon als hij thuis komt.
Ja.
En daar is een boek over geschreven, een fantastisch boek door Henry Nouwen. Nou ja, iedereen die naar Oudvaar kijkt kent het verhaal. Ja. Hey, daar maak je me echt blij mee.
Dat heb ik heel graag gedaan. Maar ik heb er nog één meegenomen.
Ja.
En daarvan zou ik je willen vragen. Jij kent een heleboel jongeren. Je hebt vroeger ook veel met jongeren gewerkt.
Ja.
Ik zou je willen uitdagen om deze nou aan iemand te geven waarvan jij zegt van ja, die heeft niet zoveel met de Bijbel. En die zou ik nou eens aan die persoon willen geven om de Bijbel echt te gaan lezen.
Nou, dat beloof ik je, doe ik binnen nu en een paar weken.
Hartstikke leuk.
Als je een doos brengt, dan raak ik hem ook kwijt, hoor.
Ja, precies.
Leuk, er zitten wisselbare covers in, hè, dacht ik.
Jongeren kunnen dus naar jongerenbijbel.nl en daar kunnen ze hun eigen cover ontwerpen.
Maar Frank, even, wat is... De Bijbel is de Bijbel, dus daar ga je niet in zitten krassen en strepen om te zeggen, nou, dit is leuk en dit is beter voor jongeren of dit begrijpen ze beter. Hoe heb je het dan helderder gemaakt?
Nou, wat we gedaan hebben met de jongerenbijbel is, we hebben de tekst van de nieuwe Bijbelvertaling genomen. Maar daaromheen hebben we teksten geschreven. Eigenlijk een soort kanttekeningen, zou je kunnen zeggen. Die jongeren helpen die Bijbel wat beter te gaan begrijpen. Dus dat betekent dat we wat meer ingaan op de achtergronden. Bijvoorbeeld over de cultuur van de Bijbel. Bijvoorbeeld ook het uitleggen van verschillende begrippen. Wat is nou besnijdenis? Wat is nou genade? Wat betekent het woord gerechtigheid bijvoorbeeld? Nou, dat zijn dingen die we daar omheen hebben geschreven. Ja. En daarnaast hebben we, je gaf het al aan, ruimte gecreëerd voor jongeren zelf om er dingen bij te zetten die ze geleerd hebben.
Ja. Ja. Waarom vind jij het zo belangrijk? Want je praat er met grote passie over.
Ja.
Waarom? Ben je zelf ook de Bijbel gegrepen?
Ik had eigenlijk hetzelfde als tiener, dat ik niet zo heel veel had met de Bijbel. Christelijk opgevoed wel, en dan zat ik in de kerk en dan zat ik in die Bijbel te bladeren. Maar ja, eigenlijk snapte ik er niet zoveel van. En eigenlijk hebben een heleboel boekjes die daaromheen verschenen zijn mij geholpen om die Bijbel beter te gaan begrijpen. En we merken nu, jongeren ermee aan de slag zijn gegaan, dat het ze enorm helpt om die Bijbel beter te gaan begrijpen en te gaan snappen waarom dat boek zo ontzettend belangrijk is geweest door de eeuwen heen voor een heleboel mensen.
Heb je nou reacties van jongeren die zeggen, nou fantastisch, nu heb ik het op een nieuwe manier gelezen of ik kijk er anders tegenaan?
Ja, heel veel. Je hebt jongeren die helemaal niet christelijk opgevoed zijn en die Bijbel gewoon eens een keer zijn gaan lezen. Ja. En eigenlijk blijven lezen. Ouders die zeggen van, voor het eerst ben ik met mijn jongeren, met mijn tieners thuis, na het avondeten aan het praten, komen ze met hun eigen Bijbel aanzetten. Kijk mam, ik heb dit erbij gezet. Ja. Ik heb dit geleerd.
Ja.
Ja, dat is natuurlijk geweldig. Dat is wat we uiteindelijk voor ogen hadden.
Ja. Verandert de Bijbel je leven?
De Bijbel verandert, zet eigenlijk je leven op zijn kop. Als je gaat ontdekken dat God zelf door die Bijbel heen spreekt. Dat je gaat ontdekken dat er een God is die leeft, die van mensen houdt. En die nog steeds spreekt door het boek van eeuwen oud heen. Ja, dat is natuurlijk geweldig.
Wat is je favoriete Bijbeltekst?
Maar een van de mooiste vind ik degene die ik achterop heb gezet. En ja, dat is een tekst die heel veel voor mij betekend heeft.
Oh, je bent kostbaar in mijn ogen, zo waardevol. Ik houd zoveel van je. Wees niet bang, want ik ben bij je.
Ja.
Prachtig. Mooi zeg. Nee, dat ontroert me. Geweldig. Hey, je hebt hem ook uit mogen reiken, want je bent de presentator van de Eeuw Jongerendag.
Klopt.
Van GroenLinks tot CDA. Hè? Ze stonden allemaal op het enorme podium.
Ja, we hebben hem, naast dat we hem aan de premier natuurlijk hebben uitgereikt, hebben we hem willen aanbieden ook aan de leden van de Tweede Kamer. En er waren verschillende partijen aanwezig die hem daarin ontvangst namen.
Frank, je hebt als jongere naar de Hour of Power zitten kijken nu. En je denkt, ik wil ook graag die Bijbel hebben. Hoe gaat dat lukken?
Je kunt hem natuurlijk gewoon kopen in de boekhandel. Ja. In de gewone algemene boekhandel en in de christelijke boekhandels. Maar ook via internet kun je hem bestellen op jongerenbijbel.nl.
Ja.
Het is absoluut de moeite waard. Hij kost €47,50. En het is ook echt een mooi cadeau om bijvoorbeeld, je ziet dat veel mensen hem geven bij een doop of bij een belijdenis. Of voor een verjaardag.
Ja.
Nou, we hebben net de feestdagen achter de rug.
Ja.
Hij is weer heel erg veel verkocht de afgelopen maand. Een mooi cadeau om weg te geven ook.
Ja. Frank, heel hartelijk bedankt. En veel sterkte en zegen. En wij gaan weer naar de Crystal Cathedral. Het is misschien wel leuk om te vertellen dat bijvoorbeeld ook een aantal scholen aan de Crystal Cathedral verbonden zijn. Die zijn ook op het terrein van de kerk. En daar krijgen jongeren, kinderen goed onderwijs, maar ook wordt er gekeken welke talenten hebben ze. En bijvoorbeeld de zangtalenten worden er uitgepikt voor het kinder- en jongerenkoor van de Crystal Cathedral. Nou, dan weet je dat als je nu gaat kijken naar dat kinder- en jongerenkoor.
Shouts and laughs. choose the idol who loves graven images. Our test number three, God's name should be never spoken in jest. Number four, the Sabbath's for our worship and for rest. Number five, we all should strive to honor Father and Mother. Number six, don't get your kicks for killing one another. Number seven, life is heaven when you choose your mate. Number eight, don't steal and break this rule for goodness sake. Number nine, don't be the kind who goes around telling lies. Number ten, don't covet when you see a neighbor's house or wife. That's the list, and God insists we stay away from these sins. That is why we memorize commandments 1 through 10. The perfect 10, the perfect 10. They're just as true as they were way back when. God gave the perfect 10, the perfect 10. God gave the perfect 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The perfect 10.
Crystal Cathedral Academy Choir, thank you for coming and for sharing your music with you. Carol, thank you for directing them. And today I want to share with you one of my, I guess it would be one of my favorite psalms. The problem with me is I have too many favorite psalms and too many favorite passages. So I say, oh, that's my favorite passage. Then I go, well, so is that, and so is that. I've been called on the rug to the carpet on that a couple times, but let me share this one with you because this is another one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with a joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Powerful words for us today. To remember that it is the Lord that we come here to serve. That God has called us for a purpose and for a reason, and that we are called to be able to give praise and thanksgiving to him. Today my message is unlocking God's blessings. And how do we unlock God's blessings? I think it begins by us recognizing the fact that God is blessing us. As my wife and I traveled to Germany, I signed books everywhere we went. And they had just translated one of my books into German. I would read it to you, but you wouldn't be able to understand it. And because it's in German, you know, unless you know German. And what I did is I signed every book, and I signed it the same way. I signed it, God is blessing you. And I underlined is. And I've signed many books that way, and chances are if you hand me a book and ask me to sign it, I'm probably going to say, God is blessing you in there. And the reason I sign that is a realization of the way God's blessings work in our lives. It begins with us recognizing the fact that in all things, in all ways, and at all times, God is blessing you. It's an act of faith. The faith to be able to believe that in all things and through God's love, he cares for us and guides us and leads us. And as a result of that, he isn't possibly going to bless you sometime in the future. But he will absolutely, totally bless you today, tomorrow, and always. God is blessing you. And so it becomes a matter of attitude. Worship the Lord with gladness. Today, many of you have come here with a heavy heart. I know that for a fact because just before I left for Germany, I signed 2,000 prayer cards. I read the prayers of hundreds of people. I know that all of us are struggling with different things. It might be health, it may be finances, it may be struggles with the law, it may be relationships, but we come here today with a heavy heart. And with this burden on our shoulders, we sit here and we read these words, "Give praise to God and give thanks to God in all things." And yet we still have these heaviness we hold on to. Today it's a challenge for us to reach out and to believe the words that God has for us. And here's the challenge. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are the workmanship of His hands. He is molding us. He's shaping us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. He's giving us purpose. He's giving us meaning. It's amazing what happens, how we unlock the blessings of God. And if you've never experienced it, I want to challenge you today to explore it. That's all. Explore it. Put God to the test and see if He will not bring out such a blessing upon you that your storehouses will not be able to contain it. Those are the words of God. He challenges us to do this. And when we do, beautiful things start to happen. This ministry, through your gifts, literally reaches out to the ends of the earth, and it is having a very powerful, positive impact in people you would never guess or believe. In Cologne, I met a man. Couldn't speak a word of English. My translator stood next to me, and as we talked, tears flowed down his cheeks. And he said, "The hour of power saved my life. I wanted to commit suicide, and then all of a sudden, I heard the hour of power. I heard the message of hope, and I received hope, and I realized that I didn't have to do this." I met another man in the same city who a few years ago reached a point of near financial collapse. And he realized he had $1 million life insurance policy and he is worth a lot of money dead, but he wasn't worth anything alive. That's how much value he had. Nothing. He saw all of his value in dollars and cents, and maybe there's people here today who feel that way, that all they can see is their value is dollars and cents. And you can't value a human life in dollars and cents. So he decided he would drive around the Autobahn, and he would just look for an opportunity where he could create an accident and that would be the end of it. He says, "I drove around for days and the opportunities never came. Then I heard the hour of power and I heard those words from your father, tough times never last, but tough people do." And he said, "Maybe I can just grit through this thing." He says, "Today,
I'm worth more money than I was ever worth. My business has come back to me. I landed up buying it back for a penny. And God has just continued to bless me. How do we unlock the doors of God's blessings? It begins spiritually and emotionally by realizing the facts that God is blessing you. And as a result, we can give thanks for all things because God is blessing us even through the burdens that we carried into this church today. He's blessing us. It continues by giving an act of worship and praise, by committing to tithe. And in our poverty, we give back. Sunday that I left for Germany, I saw a beautiful sight. It was one of those sights that a pastor rarely has. And I shed a tear. The sight was a current account of the widow's mite. You know the story of the widow's mite? Let me read it to you a minute. In Luke 21, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And then he saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And he said to his apostles, I tell you the truth, this poor widow was put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And 2 weeks ago, I sat here and I watched a woman put paper dollars into the offering plate. I don't know how much it was, and it doesn't matter. What does matter is only days before, my wife and I were serving at a homeless shelter, and I met this woman at the homeless shelter. And she came to church, and she put paper, not the pennies or the nickels or dimes, but she put paper in the offering plate. She gave out of her poverty. And somehow God starts performing his miracles. And he blesses us in ways we cannot measure, ways we can never comprehend, in ways we cannot begin to explain. How does God give us our blessings? Happiness and joy, fulfillment and satisfaction, peace and contentment, confidence and assurance, wholeness and health. He blesses us. God consistently blesses us. In Hamburg, one of the women there shared the Gospel of John 3:16. She said, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And having heard that testimony, I said, for God so loved the world. Now cross out the words world and write your name in there. That's what I told him. I said, cross out the word world and put your name in there. So what do you say if that's the case? For God so loved Robert. And if your name is Sarah or Joe or Susie or Alice or Cliff or David, that name goes in there. For God so loved you. Not the world. He loved you. He loved the human being. He loved the person. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He loves you, not the world. He loves you. That he gave his only son, that when you believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. We came into this place with our burdens. And it's time now to put your burdens down. To lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ. And as we lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ, he comes in and he showers us with his blessings. And he gives us life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. That you came to bring us happiness and joy, fulfillment and satisfaction, peace and contentment, confidence and assurance, wholeness and health. And so we give you praise and glory. And we give you thanksgiving. And we give you our hearts. So show us, O Lord, the beauty of your wonder and your grace today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit open your eyes that you may see the blessings of God today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
prachtig gezongen, Glory to God on High. En geweldig wat dominee Schuller zei, niet God zal u zegenen, nee, God zegent je. Heel goed om deze dag en de week mee in te gaan. Mensen beloven vaak van alles en zeggen ik zal het doen, maar God doet het wat hij belooft. Fijn dat je gekeken hebt en graag tot volgende week zondag bij Hour of Power. Of kijk even op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Dan kun je ook deze preek weer terugzien en contact met ons houden. Een hele goede zondag toegewenst en nogmaals graag tot volgende week.